dark. Get proper understanding of life through the word of God. My people perish for lack of knowledge. The word of God is an illumination which gives direction. Remain blessed as Reverend Osfarenu illuminates your mind with the word of God, with all simplicity and clarity.
We still continue with our focus on preparing us to flourish in a turbulent economy, teaching on principles of economic prosperity, biblical ones, biblical principles of economic prosperity. We will kickstart today's study by adding flesh or further explanation to some of the high points of last week's study. We are adding flesh to some of the high points of last week's study. You will recollect that we concluded last week's study by stating very clearly that wealth is a practical work affair and not a religious ritual affair. Wealth, economic prosperity, is a practical work affair. It's not a religious ritual affair. What that connotes is that God will not take or accept any form of religious ritual as substitute for work. God won't accept any form of religious ritual as substitute for work. May I suck you further? Prayer that we do, even in church, will not be taken by God as substitute for the responsibility you should undertake in terms of being diligent at your work. Praise the Lord. In that case, one of the urgent issues the church must give special attention to is this rising desperation for wealth using unorthodox spiritual means, such as ritual killing, among many other diabolical practices. There is this search, this rising in desperation for wealth using unconventional means, such as ritual killing, among other diabolical practices. Of course, there is a correlation between unemployment, as we have it in most African nations, Nigeria not exempted, economic hardship, and temptation for desperate search for alternative means of wealth outside the regular or the conventional and legitimate means of working to earn a living. Somebody want me to come again? There is a relationship. You can establish it empirically. You can establish it by facts and figure that there is a relationship between unemployment, economic hardship, leading to temptation that has the characteristics of making people to become desperate in searching for alternative means of wealth outside regular and legitimate means of working to earn a living. Now, to earn a living, to be economically stable, okay, the regular, the conventional means, the legitimate means is that you do your work to earn your living. But as we have it today, particularly in Africa, and I said Nigeria not exempted, There is high rate of employment. Policies of government is bringing upon the people hard economic climate. So there's economic hardship. And as a result of that, people are being tempted to become more desperate in searching for alternative means of wealth. And they are going about it in a way that is criminous and sacrilegious. Criminous in that people are going against the rule of law. There is sacrilegious in the sense that spiritual laws are also being violated. In the sense that thou shalt not murder. Okay? It's a biblical tenet that has not been vacated and will never be vacated. But today, you see ritual killing everywhere. And for what purpose? Majorly, okay, to make money. In that sense, in that regard, it's essential for the church to rise to the occasion and teach what is ethical and biblical on how to prosper economically without being diabolical, without taking to criminal means. Am I talking to somebody? But some Christians have grown so spiritual that as soon as they see the topic, principles of economic prosperity, okay, they just put the message in the mode of the prosperity preaching they have always fought. Hello? So it isn't wrong to teach on principles of prosperity so that the believers will know how to go about it. So it is for this reason that this subject becomes much more critical, so that you will know the ethical and biblical principle on how to prosper economically without being diabolical or taking to criminal means. So what I'm saying essentially, I'm coming out very hard on this issue of money ritual. So where money ritual did exist, okay, because sometimes too it's all scam, but you cannot rule out that there are satanic means by which people are making money. So where money ritual did exist, it is satanic. Somebody say money ritual is satanic. It is ungodly. It is not for believers. Are we together? So it is not God's method of economic prosperity. Ritual money is not God's method of economic prosperity. And if you are spiritually alert and concerned, you will discern that the spirit of covetousness has entered into alliance with the spirit of wickedness. You want me to come again? If you are discerning and you are sufficiently concerned about happenings in our society, you will notice that the spirit of covetousness is the desperate desire to have what is not yours, to possess what you are not due for, to have more than you require. Spirit of covetousness. And that evil spirit has entered into alliance with the spirit of wickedness in making people to become desperate for sudden wealth. You can see it all over the place. Desperation for sudden wealth, inspired by a spirit of covetousness that is cooperating with the spirit of wickedness. My prayer for you, my prayer for your children, my prayer for your family is that you will not become a victim of this evil twin spirit in the name of Jesus. So the spirit of covetousness and the spirit of wickedness work as twins. So anywhere you find covetousness, wickedness too is in the neighborhood. Am I talking to somebody? The moment you allow covetousness to gain your heart, you can be so sure that it's not going to be long before the spirit of wickedness will rule your life. So every covetous person will eventually manifest callousness. You know what it means to be callous? To be cruel, to be wicked, to do evil against another person without blinking an eye. That's callousness. So any covetous person you see will eventually manifest callousness. It's only a matter of time. And that is why you will see people rip open the belly of a pregnant mother and carry the fetus. For what purpose? They want to make spiritual money. Covetousness graduated into wickedness. Am I talking to somebody? A child will kill the mother and cut off the mammary gland, the breast that is suck, and use it to make money. All this manner of terrible things are happening everywhere. A celebrity woman will house female of her daughter's age, of her granddaughter's age, and warehouse them somewhere called baby factory, bearing children that they will be given to voodoo people to be used to make charms. Wet fortune. All this manner of terrible things are happening everywhere. And it started with people who allow covetousness to gain their heart, as a result of which wickedness now rule their world. So ritual killers don't start as callous people. They start as covetous and desperate people who eventually graduate into wickedness of all manners and unimaginable magnitude. So, callous people, wicked people that you see around, that will carry gun and just snuff life out of their fellow human being without blinking an eye. They don't start as callous people. They start as covetous people. Anytime you are being tempted to be covetous, better rise to the occasion and stop it before it will turn you to something else. Am I talking to somebody? Your brother bought a pair of shoes, and since that day you lost sleep. So you can't sleep again. You are looking for every means that you must either buy the same or buy a better one. That is spirit of covetousness at work. Hello? You always want to have the latest, even when you don't have the means. And once you can't acquire it, you are no longer happy. Spirit of covetousness. So, ritual killers, armed robbers, mention them. They don't start as callous people. They start as covetous people who are desperate to have what, as at that time, okay, they don't have the means to acquire. So it is that covetousness that graduates into wickedness of all manner and of unimaginable magnitude. Now, am I saying that there is no record or supernatural provision of money in the Bible. That's not what we are saying. Don't forget where we started from, that economic prosperity is a function of divine providence, but not solely depending on spiritual means to acquire it. Are we together? Because it's possible that somebody will quickly recall how Jesus produced miracle coin to pay the tax collector by merely sending Peter to catch the miracle fish. And some of these out of the Bible prayer session where some minister miracle money to people is always anchored on this scripture. But let me tell you this, and I want you to hold it seriously, and it will serve as a litmus test for you to evaluate miracles and spiritual means of making ends meet. No genuine miracle will invalidate God's principle. Take it as a formula. Take it as a litmus test that no genuine miracle will invalidate God's principle. Tell somebody, no genuine miracle will invalidate God's principle. So, any miracle, therefore, that requires you to go against God's principle before you can have it is suspicious. So, once a method is being adopted to perform a miracle, and that method is invalidating God's principle, either spiritual principle or the principle by which God operates the material world, the elements of nature know it for sure that such means of miracles should be suspected, and the performer of the miracle too should be suspected. Am I talking to somebody? Now, let's read that story of the miracle money in Matthew 17. I want to believe all of us are in church, fully in church. Tell me I'm fully in church. I want to hear you say I'm fully in church. Are you enjoying God? Tell your neighbor, enjoy God. Now, Matthew 17, from verse 24. So, we're going to look at those verses of the scripture where the miracle coin, the story of the miracle coin was recorded, verse 24, 25, 26, and 27. And then we're going to rely on the Holy Spirit to unravel how the miracle happened without violating God's principle. So how that miracle happened and it still sustained God's principle as against what we have today. Verse 24. And when they were come to Capernaum, these are the disciples of Jesus with Jesus, they that received tribute money came to Peter and said, doth your master pay tribute? He said, this is Peter now, yes. And when he was come into the house, Jesus prevented him, saying, what thinkest thou, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? Of their own children or of strangers? Peter said unto him, of stranger. Jesus said unto him, then are the children free? Then verse 27, notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea and cast an hook and take up the fish that first cometh up. And when thou hast opened its mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. That take and give unto them for me and thee. Yes, This is very supernatural. Hello? This is what? Because Jesus didn't send Peter to the bank. He didn't send Peter to any of his friends to go and collect the money or borrow the money. He sent him to the river. Praise the name of the Lord. So, as supernatural as that may suggest, this is the practical reality behind that act of Jesus. The practical reality cannot be different from how Jonah was vomited by the big fish that swallowed him. Don't forget, I said, no miracle will invalidate God's principle. Either principle that control our relationship with him or the principle that control our relationship with the material world. Are we together? Now, we know the story of Jonah, that there was storm on the sea on the account of his disobedience. And when it was discerned that Jonah was the reason for the turbulence on the sea, he asked that he should be thrown into the water. And he was thrown into the water. After being thrown into the water, what happened to him? He was swallowed by the fish. And I can find a corollary here, that miracle of the fish that carried coin cannot be different from how Jonah was vomited by the fish that swallowed him. So, the fish that will vomit Jonah on the seashore must first swallow Jonah in the sea storm. Hello? Pastor, are we together? The reason that fish could vomit Jonah on the seashore was because at a point is when there was a storm on the sea, he swallowed Jonah. So the fish that will vomit Jonah on the seashore must first swallow Jonah in the sea storm. So in like manner, the fish that will produce miracle coin for Peter to take to Jesus must have earlier swallowed the coin at some point. Am I talking to somebody? So, as expected, on the seabed or riverbed are many treasures that have fallen into it or thrown into it, particularly during the storm. It is the manner of seafarers, travelers on the sea, that when there is a storm on the sea, okay, one of those things they do to lighten the ship so that they will not sink is to offload into the sea. Are we together? Before Jonah was thrown into the sea, the Bible mentioned to us that all that they had on them, they threw into the sea. So, on the seabed, anywhere in the world, or the riverbed, there are many trails that had fallen into it or thrown into it, particularly during the storm. Now, as a former fisherman, the fish that Peter caught might have even swallowed one of the coins that once fell into the sea from Peter or other member of his crew during a previous expedition on the sea. Am I talking to somebody? We are trying to unravel the mystery of the miracle coin. Hello? A miracle. Man may not be able to explain a miracle, but the Holy Spirit can explain every miracle. And that's what the Holy Spirit is doing for us this morning. So, a miracle may lack human explanation, but it cannot lack revelational explanation as revealed by the Holy Spirit. So, in that miracle, Jesus did not mint extra currency and introduce into the economy of the city of Capernaum. Because it's going to violate, okay, banking laws, banking rule. Are we together? And of course, this is Jesus that they have been looking for before. Remember, there was a time they carried a coin and they asked him. I mean, there was a time they met him and they were asking him whether to pay tax to Caesar or not to pay tax to Caesar. He said, bring the coin. And by the time they check it, he said to them, whose signature is on it? They said, Caesar. They said, give to Caesar what is Caesar. Give to God what is God. Are we together? And so when that coin was paid to the tax collector, the one they got from the fish, when it was paid to the tax collector, they will scrutinize it and check it and check it again, whether it's authentic or fake. They will check the serial number. Are we together? So Jesus did not mint extra currency and introduce into the economy of the city of Capernaum. That will have, if he had done that, he would have been breaking the law of the land. He would have been violating, okay, an act of parliament that regulate their currency. So, and that will amount to validation of use of fake currency. But Jesus will not validate the use of fake currency. So, Jesus did not employ specialized angels that will break into the bank vault to steal money that will be given to people freely, that will be used to pay his tax. But today, we hear stories of people sending angels from the pulpit, sending angels from the shrine, to go into bank vault and remove money and transfer it into another people's bank account, or use some other spiritual means to bring the money to their house or to their business center. So Jesus did not have specialized angels that would break into bank vault to steal money that would be given to people freely after observing a prescribed ritual. You know those who do those things? They give you some prescribed ritual. Okay, after you have observed the ritual, then you'll be expecting that the money will be flowing. Only demon will do such things. Hello? Only demons will do such things. Because the devil, their master, is described in John 10:10 as a thief, a killer, and what? A destroyer. So that coin from the miracle feast is a recovered currency. What do I call it? That was once lost and now recovered by a most probably rightful owner that worked for it. It is not a spiritually minted or fake money or ritual money transferred from another man wealth to those who didn't own it. Hello, are we together? Whether you steal physically or you steal spiritually, you are still a thief. So, and all the demons, we give such kind of support. So, for us as believers in Christ Jesus, ritual money or fake currency is not part of God's principles of economic prosperity. That's the bottom line. For us as believers in Christ Jesus, ritual money or fake currency is not part of God's principle of economic prosperity. Okay, when people come to church and we discover that they have financial challenges, through the welfare post, we will give them money. Okay, we will not arrange ushers to carefully insert money in their bag. And then pastor will now come and prophesy and say, check your bag, there is money there. The foundation we laid last week is still what we are building on. That economic prosperity is, or wealth is, a work affair. It's not a spiritual ritual or religious ritual affair. When he put Adam in the garden, he still asked him to keep and dress the garden. If he didn't do that, weed will compete and suffocate the choice tree that God has planted in that garden. Now, the issue again is this, because we must establish the balance. Am I saying that spirituality has no role to play in economic prosperity? Can I have your answer? So I'm not saying that. Thank God you know. Now, we cannot contradict the fact that nature and its elements, including economic trail, gold, diamond, silver, mention them. They have their root in spirituality, including the trees that we are cutting to make the paper from which we are minting our naira, dollar, euro bills. So nature derives its existence from God. So you can't separate man from anything also taken from nature, okay, to build wealth. So nature derives its existence from God who created it. But even at that, man is not expected to relate with nature as religious deities. Hello. Emo so wo di o sa. Emo so wura di Olorun. Am I talking to somebody? So we are not expected to relate with nature as religious deity, but as resources for living the good life. You find that very clearly stated in Genesis chapter 1. After he has created everything, he said he has given them to man for food and for meat. Are we together? So, nature is not supposed to be related with as religious deity, but as resources for living the good life. So believers that will prosper economically must understand the clear distinction between worship and business. Hello. A believer that will prosper economically must understand that distinction, that difference between worship and business. The believers should stop thinking and acting as if religious devotion can replace economic vocation. It won't. It can't. Am I talking to somebody? Religious devotion can't replace economic vocation. Likewise, economic vocation cannot abolish spiritual devotion. Because some people cannot take this message to the extreme. In the name of working for wealth, in the name of building their finances to a level that they will be comfortable, they no longer have time for God. No more prayer, no more Bible. Everything about their search in life is money, money, and nothing more. Whatever does not involve money, they are not interested. They don't know anything about serving God. They don't know anything about serving humanity. Everything must come back to them as personal profit. It is wrong. So, economic vocation must not abolish spiritual devotion. Let me tell you this, and I want you to hear it very clearly. I'm speaking it loud to your ear. Listen to it as if I am putting my mouth into your ears. Tell your neighbor, pastor is about to blow a trumpet. Hear it loud and clear. Man needs God more than he needs good. As a man, you need God more than you need gold. You need God more than you need money. For what shall it profit a man that gains the whole world and loses his soul? You see, God is actually gold without letter L. Where letter S stands for lost. So, God is gold without lost. So, God is actually gold without letter L. Where letter S stands for lost. Where letter S stands for lost. And lost means covetousness, callousness, and all evil that men can do in desperate search for alternate means of wealth instead of relying on the blessings of God and the sweat of their labor. I stressed it last week that in worship, obedience is commanded. Obedience that is without innovation. Because once innovation is introduced, it has become mere organized religion, which means in search for prosperity, you must maintain the purity of your spirituality by being obedient to the laws of God, by being obedient to the principles of God. So the role of your worship, the role of your spirituality, the role of your religion, in, as the case may be, is to guide you and ensure that you don't transgress God's law in the pursuit of wealth. Am I talking to somebody? So there's a relationship, there's a correlation. But that does not mean now that it is that religion that will give you money. But that religion, that faith, that spirituality will now serve as a brake for you, a speed regulator, so that you don't run into perdition. Am I talking to somebody? So in business, innovation is allowed. Creativity is permitted. In fact, creativity must take the lead in business. Adam was asked by God to exercise innovation, to task his mental power, to name the animals. Are we together? So you are allowed to generate ideas, ideas that will bring you to wealth. But when you are thinking those ideas together, you bring it to the crucible of the test of the principles of God. Anyone of such ideas that want to invalidate the principle of God, throw it to the dustbin so that it will not throw you into hellfire. Am I talking to somebody? So, like we said last week again, maybe all that we are going to be able to do today is this review of last week's study. It has become another main message. So, you may not make much economic progress if you suspend your brain and you subject everything to spirituality. I think we said that last week. You may not make much economic progress if you suspend your brain and you subject everything to spirituality. And so let me give you or recommend for you what I call Jesus double-edged formula. Jesus double-edged formula for living a godly and productive life. You will be godly, you will still be financially vibrant if you will follow this formula. Jesus double-edged recommended formula for living a godly and productive life. John chapter 4, verse 24. Gospel according to St. John chapter 4, verse 24. This particular scripture and the connected story will also be unraveled next week. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, God is a spirit, and they that worship him was worshiping in spirit and in truth. The first side of this word is in spirit. The second side is in truth. So we are to worship God in spirit and in truth. That means by intent of the heart. You see, God is a spirit. Okay, so to relate with him, you have to be spiritually minded. And spiritually mindedness starts from the heart. Love the Lord your God with all your soul, with all your heart. So spirituality emanates from the heart. It's not an outward act. It's a heart matter. Are we together? Spirituality is not an outward act. It's a heart matter. So worship God in truth and in spirit and truth means from the intent of your heart. You are living in compliance with absolute truth of God's word on spiritual matters. So on spiritual matters, you are not compromising. You are complying with the absolute truth. Our God is not a God of relatives. He's a God of absolute. Hello? 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 There is no middle point between what is yours and what is another person. Okay? Before you can take another person's own, you must get the permission of that person. Once you take it without his consent, okay, the law of men may call it any other name. As far as the law of God is concerned, you have stolen it. Are we together? So, and that is why to God, there is no lesser evil or bigger evil. Evil is what? Evil. Our God is a God of absolute. That is why Jesus can conveniently say that if you look at your brother and you say Raka, you call him a fool, you have committed murder. Which means when you get to heaven, there is no separate air. Okay? For those who abuse people, those who use foul language on people, and those who actually carry dagger and stab people to death. I say, because you only specialize in abusing people, we have prepared a hell for you where the fire and the torment is less. No. The Bible went as far as telling us that all liars will go to the same hell that murderers will go. Go read the book of Revelation. Are we together? God is a God of absolute. So, in your serving God in spirit, it means that you are complying with the absolute of God on all spiritual matters. Then, he didn't stop at that. He said, in truth. So, for every aspect of our life, there is a God position. For every aspect of our life, there is a biblical standard. That is the truth the Bible is referring to. Hello? It's not the truth of you lie or you say the truth. The truth here is talking about what the stand of God on issues. Hello? If you will read your Bible and search the mind of the Holy Spirit, there is no any issue upon which God did not have his own stand. On corruption, he has his stand. Are we together? On education, he has his stand. On finances, he has his stand. On politics, God has his stand. That are very clear. So that is the truth. So, with therefore means that you are to also observe the practical principle of nature that govern our material world. So that is the truth. The truth here refers to the principles that govern our material world. I pray for you because our time is fast spent, that the Lord will give you a heart of obedience to walk with God in spirit and in truth, in the name of Jesus. I pray again that may the Lord baptize you with the spirit of wisdom and with creative intelligence to excel in your business without being diabolical, without violating God's principle. In the mighty name of Jesus, to God be the glory. Shout hallelujah. Shout hallelujah. Glory to God.
Thank you for joining us in today's service. Hope you have been blessed. Do well to join us in our various weekly services.
Every Sunday, 7 a.m., Leaders Breakfast, where we are equipped fully for all-round success. We learn, unlearn, contribute, and ask questions. And 9 a.m., our main service, Wonders of Wisdom Banquet.
Every Tuesday by 10 a.m., Solution Mountains, where we bring all our petitions to the Lord. Trust me, all prayers shall be answered. And 5 p.m., Drama Rehearsals.
Every Wednesday by 6 p.m., Bible Study, where we sit at the feet of our Lord Jesus to learn.
Every Friday, intercessory units meet to intercede for one another and for the church at large.
And every Saturday, various units in the church meet for preparation,
such as media, choir, sanitation, and praying mothers.
Also, every first day of the month at 5:30 a.m., Grace for a New Beginning, where we receive fresh anointing to run the month.
Every last Tuesday of the month, 4 p.m., ushering department gathered for their meeting. Stay blessed as you join us in the services.
God bless you.